Well, I'm going to be talking a little bit about humility this morning. And I don't want to appear to be tooting my own horn, but in my last parish, I was given the first and only award for being the most humble deacon. Father, he presented me with this huge yellow button, and it said, "The Most Humble Deacon," big black letters. And I was really proud of it. Wrong. So I wore it to Mass the next Sunday, and Father took one look at it and at me, and he took the button away from me. Name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This the first reading we heard from Sirach tells us that God hears the prayer of the poor. It's further reinforced in the psalm, which says that the Lord hears and answers the cry of the poor. And then in the gospel, Jesus tells a parable of the proud Pharisee who prayed for from his self-importance, and the tax collector prayed from humility. Our gospel reading today takes up actually what is the second parable that Jesus tells in this 18th chapter of Luke, which addresses the attitude of prayer. In contrasting the prayer of the Pharisee with the prayer of the tax collector, Jesus teaches his disciples to pray in humility before God. Jesus again surprises his listeners by showing the tax collector as the example of faith rather than the Pharisee. Remember that the Pharisees were members of a sect of Judaism active in Jesus' time. They taught an oral interpretation of the law of Moses as the basis for Jewish piety. Now, if anyone would be a model for prayer, a Pharisee was a likely candidate, we would think. In contrast, Jesus offers the tax collector as a model for prayer. Now, tax collectors were collaborators with the Roman authorities, in a system that allowed the tax collectors to line their own pockets by charging in excess of the required taxes. Yet in this parable, Jesus offers the humility of the tax collector as a model for the prayer of a disciple. The parable reminds us that when we pray, we must remember our need for God in our lives. If we are too full of ourselves, there is too little room for God's grace for us. I really like this quote that says, "Don't shine so others can see you. Shine so that through you, others can see him." So then this parable takes us to another level of our faith as it reaches to the core of our relationship with God. We need to understand that the basis of that relationship is the fact that God chooses us. It's not that we choose him, but God chooses us. He establishes the relationship. We haven't won this relationship with our prayers or by our actions. God has chosen us. This has not been easy for many to accept. Taking on our humility and becoming one of us in his incarnate Son, God's effort has been directed toward all of us. The extent of his love for us is proven through his sacrificial love for all of us displayed on the cross. The struggle also includes the Lord's continual effort through his Son to win each of us into his love. So often, however, you and I have run from him. I have to admit that That has at times been me. Perhaps we fear that his love for us is too demanding. Maybe we're afraid that getting too close to God means having to give up the fun things in life. Or maybe we're afraid he'll ask us to give up some things that we feel that we just can't simply let go of. Or maybe it's a control issue. Do I control my life, or should God govern my life? Our motives are many and complex. God's motive is simple and uncomplicated. In our relationship with God, each one of us has been gifted with God's love, a love flowing to us through our family of faith, the church. Yet at the same time, his love is, because we are individuals, unique to each one of us. I stand before God's eyes all by myself, and each one of you has his or her own unique individual relationship with God. By that I mean that someone is not better or worse than any other person in the eyes of God. God sees you as you, not in comparison with someone else. Take, for example, your own relationship with your own children. Each of your kids is not better or worse than the other. To be sure, they are different, yet all of your children, each and every one, receive all of your love. And so it is with God. We are all God's children, yet God sees us and loves us individually. He doesn't judge us better or worse than another person. Our actions and behaviors may be good or bad, but we're all God's children, and he loves all of his children. And so all he's looking for from us is simply our yes, to acknowledge our need for him in our lives as we come humbly into his presence in prayer. Amen.